And what do we have here? A roaring fire? Another mug of warm cider, some cozy wool blankets, and a captive audience. Seems to me we got ourselves a good old-fashioned fireside here. I apologize for my tardiness, my friends. I had some courier business to attend to. But that is all done for now. We can all rest and enjoy ourselves. For when the work is done, you must leave it. Do not let it follow you around like a shadow, my friends. It will be there when you have rested and you are ready for it. So, shall we tell a tale? I have a few I might have the disposition to tell, but I think y'all might like to hear from someone else for a bit. Now, I have asked Frederick Hawthorne, one of our master all-couriers, to come to the fireside and tell us one of his stories. Stand up, Freddy. Give us a wave. Yeah, that's Freddy. Now, Frederick here is a master all-courier, the highest rank one can achieve as an in-the-field courier, as it were. They are all tasked with all the most dangerous, the most important, the most sensitive of deliveries. I would trust any one of them with my life. And to become a master all-courier takes a lot of time and effort and several trials set up by the Postmaster General for Thinavronte and myself, which entail... I suppose I could go on and on about this, couldn't I? Forgive my old and tired words, my friends. Freddy, why don't you save these good peoples from my tired meanderings and tell us your tale?
I'd be happy to, Mr. Coriander. Hello, my name is Frederick, or Freddy, or Fred, if you like. Or even, Mr. Hawthorne. And, as Mr. Coriander said, I am indeed a master all-courier. And, what he said is right. Me and all the other master all-couriers, we take on dangerous and special missions, usually, on request. In my 12 years I've been a master all-courier, I've done and seen a good number of things. I and all the master all-couriers each have hundreds of tales to tell, but the one I would like to talk about tonight is the one that happened a few years ago, when the Postmaster General for Thinavronte called me into her office and gave me a small satchel filled with letters, parcels, and small packages. The destination she gave was, it was an odd one. It was just directions, no address. Fly north for a few days, follow the river east, go over the mountains, find a small village in a mountainside with a large tree with pink leaves at its center. The village was given no name and no other landmarks. That was all. Now, it's not like I hadn't done something like this before. Some clients are notorious for giving you just enough to get lost. But from the Postmaster General, this was odd. She was usually so meticulous about the exact location she gave jobs for. One time, she gave another master all-courier a destination that directed her to a drawer in a desk she was supposed to put the letter in. So this, well, quite frankly, vagary was odd. But I paid it little mind. A job from Fathina is a rare honor. So I saddled up my supplies and loaded my bird. Wait. No, it's the other way around. I loaded up my supplies and saddled my bird. That's it. The bird's name is Obstinacy. She's a white-bellied go-away bird. And we took flight. The journey wasn't a difficult one. No, not any stretch of the imagination. We followed Fathina's instructions and had no harrowing mishaps. It was, it was downright leisurely, really. That is until we made it to the mountain. The instructions said that we were to fly northwest through a patch of mountains and head towards a spire of rock that had its top broken off. Like a broken spear, at least that's what I made note of it in my notes. We saw the peak about halfway through our sixth day out. Now, when we saw it for the first time, the mountains we were in were cold and bright, and the peak was very easy to see. But as we drew closer, a thick mist drew up around us. I felt like we maybe should turn back, but Obstinacy would not have any of that. She loves a good challenge. so we flew through the mists towards the peak for hours. Sometimes we'd catch glimpses of it, outlined in the gray gloom, but we never seemed to reach it. Until finally we found our way out of the mist and, well, gosh darn it, we were back where we started. We tried again, and same thing. Hours of flight, and when we came out of it, we were right back to the same stretch of mountain we'd entered at. At this point, we were both pretty exhausted, and when night came on, we decided to call it a day. I spotted a little town nestled in a little mountain valley not too far away, and with all the energy we had left, we landed and sought out a place to sleep. Now, here's a good tip for you starting out in your courier service. All you novices, apprentices, adepts, you always carry gifts, or at least something you can barter or trade with. I like to carry wool socks. Well, wool goods, really. Hats and mittens and scarves and socks. I like socks. They work just about everywhere, and people love them. I had to trade 3 pairs of socks and a hat to a farmer and her family for a good place to sleep and a meal, but after the day we had, it was worth it. Even if it was just a barn, it was enough. But even after I tucked in obstinacy and said my goodnights, I really couldn't sleep. The day had really worn on me, and I was so perplexed by the mist and the peak and the town. So I took a walk. I went into town. I found a good tavern where I could have a good quiet drink and maybe talk to some good local folk. I hadn't been there maybe, 5 minutes or so before I was surrounded by tons of people asking about news and stories. Now, again, this is pretty common for those of you that are new, that when you get into a small town, you become the center of attention. You have all the news. Everyone's eager to hear what's going on outside. And I was happy to oblige them. I even handed out some of the latest issues of the Grey Audrin Gazette. And last but not least, I told them my tale of my current delivery, of the mist and my destination, a village on a mountainside with a tree with pink leaves at its center. At that, the tavern grew very quiet, and the people all looked away. I pressed them until finally an old man near the hearth told me there was no way to fly to the village. And that if I wanted to go there, I would have to walk. And how do I walk there? I asked. And he told me, you take the Winter Steel Bridge. Just the name sent a chill down my spine, and I didn't know why. It was so quiet at that moment I could hear my own heartbeat. It was as if everyone in the room had stopped breathing. But I pressed on. I said that if it was the only way to deliver my post, then I would do it. And the old man said that if that was my wish, then he'd take me to the bridge. And after that, he fell silent. I finished my drink, talked to the townsfolk, thanked them for all that they'd done, and left back to the barn, all the while feeling this sense of unease over the name, the White Steel Bridge. It was like I'd heard it before, as if someone had told me the tale long ago and I had forgotten the words, but I knew how the tale made me feel. I pondered it all the way back. And then, come morning, I awoke early to find that same old man from the tavern waiting for me outside the barn. He asked me one more time if I was still determined to make the trek, and I assured him that I was. I let obstinacy out, telling her I'd be back and wait for me. Now, she's a clever girl and could take care of herself for a day or two. And with that, the old man and myself took our walk. It took about an hour or so to get beyond the valley, and once we were beyond the tree line, we could see the broken spear peak in the distance. I pointed it out to the old man, and he assured me that it was the direction the village was. I asked him what was so special about this village, why it made everyone so uncomfortable. And he told me that most who head out across the Winter Steel Bridge never return And if they do, they're never the same. We walked in silence for a time until, around the bend, we saw it. The Winter Steel Bridge. The bridge itself began at the edge of a fathomless chasm, filled with the mist I'd flown through the day before. The mist was so thick, or the chasm so wide, that the other side of the bridge was swallowed up and could not be seen. As we got closer, I could see the bridge was indeed made of metal. And when I put my hand on it, ooh, it burned with a too cold touch. I asked the old man, as we stood at the edge of the bridge, if he knew who had built it. And he told me that it had always been there. Some even said that it was from before the stars falling, that it was an ancient and sad thing. The village beyond was full of dread and danger and sadness. He wished me luck, but candidly, he told me he never expected to see my face again. I gave him two pairs of wool socks at that moment, and told him that he could keep one and hold the other for me. And if I came back, he could return it. If not, well, the other pair was his. He frowned and turned away back to the village. And I was left with the journey ahead. And that, hold on there, Freddy. I hate to stop you, but it seems we got some Wiggly Wiggins sitting around this fire. By a show of hands, my friends, who among you has had too much cider and needs to use the facilities? Let's see, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8. All right, then. 8. Freddy, do you mind if we stop for a bit so I can escort these fine novices up to the house?
Not at all, Mr. Coriander.
Good. Come along, my little friends. I want you to head up towards the porch light, and don't mind me if I fall behind. We'll be back in 2 shakes of a ram's tail, eh, Freddy?
It's not a problem, Mr. Coriander. Take your time. So, anybody know any good songs?